The immune system is our body's elegant peacekeeping force, not merely a war machine, but a sophisticated network that discerns up to a billion different threats while maintaining harmony with beneficial microbes. This delicate balance becomes evident when the system malfunctions, turning against us through autoimmunity, affecting 50 million Americans, 75% being women, or standing down against cancer, as in Jason Greenstein's case. Matt Richtel's An Elegant Defense has been hailed as the most accessible exploration of immunology since Siddhartha Mukherjee's The Emperor of All Maladies, earning praise from medical professionals and laypeople alike. The book's timing couldn't be more relevant. Published just before the COVID-19 pandemic, it provides crucial context for understanding our body's defense mechanisms during the greatest immunological challenge of our generation. Through four remarkable medical cases, Richtel takes us on a journey through scientific discovery that experts compare to the breakthrough of antibiotics, revealing how our bodies maintain the precarious balance between protection and self-destruction. The human body operates like an intricate, perpetually active festival where billions of cells perform highly specialized functions within precisely designated regions. Among these cellular performers, the immune system components act as a sophisticated security force, serving as janitors, sentinels, and covert spies, maintaining constant surveillance for threats ranging from mutated cancerous tissue to invading pathogens. When danger appears, first-line responders, including neutrophils, natural killer cells, and dendritic cells, trigger a coordinated inflammatory response, initiating what resembles a carefully orchestrated bar fight as they systematically engulf and destroy infections. In this defensive ballet, some immune cells heroically sacrifice themselves, while others carefully transport infection fragments to lymph nodes, where specialized T cells and B cells, widely regarded as two of the most effective biological structures in the world, mount precisely targeted defensive responses. This protective response system, while remarkably effective, comes with significant biological costs. Fever that raises body temperature to inhibit pathogen growth, profound fatigue that forces rest and recovery, and sometimes devastating chronic conditions resulting from excessive immune reactions. The immune system must constantly walk an almost impossibly fine line between mounting a sufficient defensive response and avoiding dangerous overreaction. We face relentless invasion attempts by thousands of different pathogens, from bacteria that have evolved over 3.5 billion years, to viruses thousands of times smaller than cells that can stealthily integrate into our DNA, to complex parasites that have developed sophisticated evasion techniques. These diverse invaders share three key traits that make them formidable opponents: extraordinarily reckless reproduction rates, remarkable mobility through body barriers using specialized structures like flagella and protein spikes, and rapid mutation capabilities. Bacteria can multiply every 20-30 minutes, creating an impossible evolutionary arms race against our comparatively slow-dividing defensive cells. The immune system faces additional complex challenges beyond direct infection control. It must protect against blood-borne threats that can rapidly spread through circulation, allow necessary tissue regeneration while vigilantly watching for potentially cancerous mutations, and maintain a precise balance between sufficient defensive response and preventing self-destruction through autoimmune reactions. This delicate equilibrium evolved through countless iterations over millions of years, with our immune system's fundamental origins stretching back 3.5 billion years to ancient bacteria that developed primitive defense mechanisms against viral threats. Approximately 500 million years ago, immune systems diverged into two distinct evolutionary lineages. One path leading to non-jawed vertebrates like lampreys, and another shared by humans and sharks emerging roughly 480 million years ago. This remarkable evolutionary longevity and conservation across species demonstrates the system's extraordinary effectiveness as an ever-vigilant, omnipresent peacekeeping force that has stood the test of time through countless biological challenges and adaptations. The modern human immune system represents the culmination of this extended evolutionary refinement, incorporating multiple layers of defense, from physical barriers like skin and mucous membranes to sophisticated cellular recognition systems that can identify and remember specific threats. It maintains detailed molecular memories of previous infections, allowing faster responses to recurring threats, while constantly adapting to new challenges posed by emerging pathogens and environmental changes. The field of immunology arguably began in 16th century Italy when researcher Fabricius of Aquapende discovered a mysterious sac-like organ, the bursa, beneath the chicken's tail, a seemingly purposeless structure that would later prove crucial to understanding immunity. In 1622, Italian scientist Gaspare Acelli observed milky veins in a dissected dog's stomach, revealing an alternate circulatory system carrying white fluid rather than red blood. The field advanced dramatically in 1882 when zoologist Ali Metchnikoff observed wandering cells moving through transparent starfish larvae. Testing his theory that these cells might defend against intruders, he inserted rose thorns into starfish larvae and witnessed cells swarming around the foreign objects, forming the basis of his phagocyte theory that specialized cells devour invaders, a process now known as phagocytosis. 9 years later, Paul Ehrlich in Berlin sought to explain how defense cells could recognize and attack pathogens. Using chemical staining techniques, he developed a lock-and-key theory, proposing that special cells attach to diseases via structures he named anticorpor, antibodies. Though his specific mechanism was incorrect, his terminology became foundational to immunology. In 1941, as World War II raged, 17-year-old Jacqueline Miller died of tuberculosis in Shanghai, just 3 years before streptomycin, the first effective tuberculosis antibiotic, was discovered. Her younger brother Jacques, who would later make profound immunological discoveries, was haunted by questions about why he survived despite living in close quarters with his sister. Years later, Dr. Jacques Miller made a revolutionary discovery about the thymus, an organ long considered worthless. Through brilliant experiments with mice, including thymectomies and skin grafts, Miller demonstrated that the thymus was actually crucial to immune function, producing cells he called thymus-derived cells, or T cells. In 1951, an 8-year-old boy arrived at Walter Reed with a disturbing medical history, 18 bouts of pneumonia in just 18 months. Colonel Ogden Bruton discovered the boy had no gamma globulins. He wasn't making antibodies. Yet puzzlingly, the boy still had white blood cells and could fight some viruses. This case sparked a fierce debate among immunologists between those favoring antibody-mediated immunity versus cell-mediated immunity. Dr. Max Cooper ultimately demonstrated two distinct lineages of lymphocytes, one from the thymus, T cells, and another from bone marrow, B cells, establishing that B cells generate antibodies while T cells either fight directly or direct the immune response. How can our immune system react to entirely new pathogens never before encountered? Susumu Tonegawa's groundbreaking research revealed the answer. Using new technology to isolate genetic material segments, he discovered that antibody-encoding genes behave unlike all other normal genes. When comparing immature B cells to mature ones, he found that as B cells mature, their genetic material undergoes a remarkable transformation. The genetic material labeled V, variable, D, diversity, and J, which exists separately in immature cells, combines uniquely in mature cells as intervening material drops away. This process, known as VDJ recombination, occurs millions of times per day in our bodies, creating an endless array of defensive possibilities. This genetic rearrangement creates trillions of different antibody combinations, essentially random keys waiting for locks that may not yet exist. Like a locksmith crafting keys before knowing which doors need opening, our bodies maintain this vast library of potential defenses. This infinity machine allows our bodies to anticipate threats never before encountered, from ancient bacteria to newly evolved viruses. The system is so precise that it can distinguish between proteins that differ by just a single amino acid. For this discovery explaining the genetic basis of antibody diversity, Tonegawa received the 1987 Nobel Prize, fundamentally changing our understanding of immunology. T cells and B cells form the specialized core of the immune system, crucial for fighting complex or unusual pathogens. Unlike the graceful, circular red blood cells, white blood cells resemble spike-covered baseballs with receptors that send and receive signals. These receptors act like sophisticated antennae, constantly scanning for signs of danger. When you're exposed to a pathogen like flu, your body initially generates a generic response, inflammation, fever, and increased white blood cell production, while waiting for the right T and B cells to identify the invader, a process that can take 5 to 7 days. During this time, millions of different immune cells are tested against the pathogen until the perfect match is found. These white cells course through the body, potentially spending years in restless irrelevancy until the moment they encounter their perfect match, binding to it like a lock and key to trigger the immune response. Once activated, these cells multiply rapidly, creating armies of identical cells specifically targeted to fight the infection. Memory cells are also created, allowing for faster responses to future encounters with the same pathogen. Vaccines function as boot camp for this system, priming and teaching T cells and B cells by providing them a cheat sheet against deadly diseases. By introducing harmless versions or components of pathogens, vaccines allow the immune system to create memory cells without risking actual infection. The right vaccine enables your body to mount faster responses to pathogens that might otherwise prove fatal before natural immunity develops, reducing response time from weeks to hours. The challenge of distinguishing self from alien becomes starkly apparent in transplantation. In the early 1970s, immunologist Dr. Max Cooper attempted to save an infant boy lacking T and B cells by transplanting bone marrow from the child's mother. Despite their genetic similarity, sharing 50% of their DNA, the transplant failed and the boy died, highlighting the immune system's extraordinary specificity. This case became a watershed moment in understanding just how precisely the immune system identifies and rejects foreign tissue, even from close relatives. Peter Dougherty and Rolf Zinkernagel's groundbreaking discovery about T cells' remarkable specificity emerged from seemingly routine experiments. When they infected mice with lymphocytic chorio-meningitis virus and observed T cells attacking infected cells in test tubes, they realized something crucial. T cells weren't just killing free-floating infection, but targeting infected mouse cells specifically. More surprisingly, these T cells couldn't kill virus-infected cells from different mouse strains, even when the virus was identical. This revealed that the immune system operates with dual recognition. It must identify both the pathogen and confirm the infected cell belongs to the host organism. This discovery illuminated the major histocompatibility complex, MHC, the immune system's fingerprint. T cells roam the body carrying specialized receptors that perform a sophisticated two-step verification. First, confirming whether cells are self, and then determining if they're damaged or infected before launching an attack. The MHC genes are remarkably polymorphic. They're the most varied human genes, with thousands of variants across populations. Each individual's unique MHC profile creates a molecular signature so distinct it produces a detectable scent. Multiple studies have shown people are unconsciously attracted to partners with sufficiently different MHC genes, possibly explaining the evolutionary aversion to incest. This suggests the immune system may have evolved not just for defense, but also to influence mate selection and ensure genetic diversity. This fundamental system has remained largely unchanged for 500 million years, shared with all jawed vertebrates, including sharks, demonstrating its essential role in survival. The conservation of this system across such evolutionary distance underscores its effectiveness. Any significant deviation likely proved fatal to species that attempted it. By 1980, Dr. Anthony Fauci had become a rising star in immunology, pioneering work on medicines that dampened overactive immune responses without compromising infection defense. His research with glucocorticoids and cytokine modulators demonstrated that the immune system could be fine-tuned rather than simply suppressed. This marked a pivotal shift in immunology's understanding, moving from viewing the immune system as merely an attack, seek, and destroy mechanism to recognizing it as a sophisticated system seeking homeostasis and balance between aggression and tolerance. Autoimmunity has a long, misunderstood history, dating back to 963 AD when symptoms resembling wolf bites led to the term lupus, Latin for wolf. Early treatments were barbaric, cutting away lesions or burning them with caustic chemicals. The revolutionary concept that the body might attack itself, horror autotoxicus, was introduced around 1900 by Paul Ehrlich. A breakthrough came in 1929 when Dr. Philip Hensch at Mayo Clinic noticed rheumatoid arthritis symptoms improved when patients developed jaundice or during pregnancy. Working with biochemist Edward Kendall, they isolated compound E, cortisol, from cow adrenal glands. In 1948, they administered it to a 29-year-old woman immobilized by arthritis who miraculously recovered enough to go shopping for 3 hours. This discovery earned them the 1950 Nobel Prize. Despite these advances, autoimmunity remained difficult to diagnose and treat. Women's complaints were often dismissed as hysteria, with their domestic duties exacerbating joint pain. As late as 1975, patients were still told, "You'll have to learn to live with it," resorting to folk remedies like celery juice or sulfur-filled bags wrapped around their feet. In November 1998, the FDA approved Enbrel, one of the most anticipated drugs in medical history for treating rheumatoid arthritis. Unlike earlier treatments that suppressed the entire immune system, Enbrel used monoclonal antibodies to target a specific cytokine called tumor necrosis factor, TNF, which signals cells to die through apoptosis. By targeting only overactive immune cells, Enbrel could reduce inflammation without compromising the entire immune system. When Linda received her first Enbrel infusion in early 1999, the results were transformative after several months. "My immune system is allowed to work, and this binds to the parts of my immune system that are attacking me and neutralizes them," Linda explained. "Once I went on this drug, my life just changed." The discovery of monoclonal antibodies revolutionized science and medicine through the work of three key scientists. Niels Jørn developed the complex Jørn plaque assay that allowed scientists to isolate and count antibodies. Cesar Milstein created an ingenious method to produce abundant antibodies by fusing B cells with cancer cells, taking advantage of cancer's endless reproductive capacity. Georges Kohler combined these techniques to isolate individual antibodies and make countless copies. This breakthrough allowed scientists to distinguish between different cell types, revealing B cells were far more varied than originally thought. The question, "Should you pick your nose?" has become a serious scientific inquiry with potential health benefits. This reflects the broader hygiene hypothesis, which suggests our immune systems evolved to function in environments full of pathogens, but modern hygiene practices have rapidly changed that environment. When not properly trained by regular exposure to germs, our immune systems overreact to harmless substances, leading to allergies and autoimmune disorders. A compelling study comparing Amish and Hutterite communities found dramatically lower asthma rates among the Amish, 5% versus 21%, who practiced traditional farming with greater exposure to environmental allergens. Amish homes had 4 times more allergens from cats, dogs, dust mites, and cockroaches, and nearly 7 times higher bacterial residue. Mouse studies confirm these findings. Mice raised in microbe-rich environments developed more effective immune systems than those in cleaner environments. Our bodies contain at least 100 trillion bacterial cells, primarily in our gut, outnumbering our human cells. This collection of bacteria forms a second genome essential to our survival. As Sarkis Mazmanian explains, the human genome is not sufficient to confer all the benefits of health. We require input from the microbiome. This collaboration creates what scientists call superorganisms, humans empowered by bacterial partnerships. Stress disrupts this delicate balance, like jostling an elite gymnast mid-flip on a balance beam. The pioneering work on stress and immunity came from Ohio State University's Janice Kaikoldt-Glaser and Ronald Glaser, who investigated why students often get sick after final exams. Their groundbreaking 1982 study examined 75 medical students before, during, and after exams. The results were dramatic. Antibody levels spiked significantly during exams, with lonelier students showing even more extreme responses. Simultaneously, natural killer cells sharply decreased in circulation. This immune suppression occurs because stress triggers adrenaline followed by steroid release. These steroids, particularly cortisol, reach virtually every cell in the body through glucocorticoid receptors, repressing genes critical for immune function. This evolutionary adaptation makes sense. When facing immediate danger, your body prioritizes alertness over immune functions that might slow you down. Sleep isn't just a luxury, it's critical for immune function. While we sleep, our bodies flush toxins from the brain and regulate immune responses. Sleep deprivation dramatically increases mortality risk, comparable to being sedentary, overweight, or depressed. Studies involving 1.3 million subjects found optimal sleep for longevity is 7 hours, with dramatically increased death risk for those sleeping under 4.5 hours. The relationship between sleep and immunity is circular. Immune cytokines promote healthy sleep, while sleep supports immune function. When the body sustains an injury, it triggers a sophisticated survival cascade. First, red blood cells rush to form clots and stop bleeding. Then, immune cells arrive to clear bacteria and pathogens. Almost immediately after this cleansing phase, a construction process begins. Within 1 to 2 days, growth-promoting signals increase tenfold as the body transitions from defense to repair. Fibroblasts form connective tissue bridges between old and new tissue. Blood vessels spring up around the wound edges, creating feeding tubes for new cells, while a fibrous matrix forms to protect against pathogens and provide scaffolding for rebuilding. However, this healing process carries a dangerous corollary. The same growth factors that promote healthy tissue regeneration can also nurture cancer cells. As scientists like Rudolf Virchow, 1863, and Harold Dvorak, 1886, observed, tumors are wounds that do not heal. This explains why activities like smoking, coal mining, or excessive sunbathing increase cancer risk. Each damages tissue and DNA. When the immune system cleanses and stimulates new tissue growth, it may inadvertently nurture mutated cells that look enough like self to avoid destruction. James Allison's discovery about CTLA-4 revealed how cancer manipulates the immune system's natural braking mechanisms. Tumors send signals to activate CTLA-4, causing the immune response to halt and allowing cancer to grow unchecked. Another crucial break is PD-1, programmed death, a molecule on T cells that essentially triggers immune cell suicide. Discovered in 1992 by Dr. Tasuku Honjo, PD-1 serves as another failsafe to prevent the immune system from going rogue. The FDA's approval of Yervoy, ipilimumab, on March 25, 2011, marked a revolutionary moment in cancer treatment. This novel drug worked by unleashing the body's own immune system to fight tumors, the culmination of scientific progress from Metchnikoff and Ehrlich through Miller, Cooper, Daugherty, and Tonegawa. Clinical trials showed 20% of metastatic melanoma patients lived 2 years or longer, though serious immune-related side effects affected 10 to 15% of patients. Through studying the immune system, we discover several profound lessons about life. First, everything is connected. Cancer, autoimmunity, HIV, the common cold, allergy, with the immune system being the river that runs through every aspect of health and wellness. The immune system doesn't primarily attack. It seeks harmony and balance, cooperating with surrounding organisms rather than simply destroying what is alien. This challenges our understanding of self versus other and demonstrates that survival depends on cooperation rather than conflict. The misconception that a boosted immune system is desirable is dangerous. Dr. Fauci notes that advertisements promising to boost immunity make him almost chuckle because most immune systems need no boosting, and an overstimulated immune system can cause devastating damage, from fatigue and fever to organ failure. The immune system teaches us to err on the side of cooperation and acceptance. Modern society has often overcorrected in its quest for efficiency, from industrialized food causing obesity epidemics to antibiotics creating resistant superbugs. For maintaining immune health, sleep, exercise, meditation, and nutrition are crucial. One study showed cyclists aged 55 to 79 had immune systems that aged more slowly than sedentary peers, suggesting that staying active signals to your internal systems that you continue to play a vital role in your own survival. When I began reporting Jason's miraculous recovery, I thought I was writing about immortality, humanity's age-old quest to defeat death through science. But I discovered a profound paradox. Our immune system, while defending us, also ensures our eventual demise. It makes necessary trade-offs to maintain balance in the festival of life, promoting wound healing and cell division for rebuilding after injury, but this same mechanism inevitably allows malignant cells to develop. Our immune system hasn't evolved to defend us as individuals indefinitely. Rather, it protects our genetic material and species, keeping us alive through reproduction and child-rearing before moving us out of the way. As Dr. Miller states, evolution has decreed we cannot live forever. Nature, evolution, has decreed you've got to make way for the next generation. Yale scholar Ruslan Medgetov adds that there's no ultimate solution. Curing one disease merely allows another to claim us later. The key distinction is between lifespan and health span, living well rather than living forever. We must continue striving for medical advancement while simultaneously accepting death's inevitability and necessity for our species' survival. This balance mirrors the elegance of the immune system itself, a difficult but essential reconciliation between our terror of death and our need to embrace it with humility and grace.